I think it's my turn, right? Last time I was here, I came up here too early. But I've been more embarrassed than that coming up in front of people, so it's cool. Thank you, brother, for that worship. It was good. You know, and in fact, it's right in alignment with where I'm going to be coming from today in John chapter 1. Let's pray, though, before we dive in and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that you continue to give us to worship you with freedom, without too much persecution. We thank you for this season that we're in, a season where we reflect on you. You coming down from the throne, taking the body of a man and being shaped in the form of a servant, Father God. We thank you for that gift. And as we continue to enjoy our family and our friends and the festivities of this season, God, we just pray that your word, your spirit, your power, that it would permeate each aspect of our lives. We thank you for the blessing that you've given us. And God, now as I decrease, I pray that you would increase. Move me out of the way, Father God, so that they may see you and receive what it is that you've revealed to me. We thank you for your word. We know that it is powerful and effectual in all that it does. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Christmas, everyone has a different experience with Christmas. You know, sometimes I walk around and I see people dressed up in their red and wearing Santa hats and, you know, joyous. And I know my son, my youngest son, Aaron, he loves Christmas time because family comes around and we have a good time. Christmas Eve, all this season, we have a good time. But for others, it's kind of a depressing season sometimes, depending on what circumstances surround Christmas for you in your past. For me, I've been kind of up and down. I remember back a few years ago, I dressed up as Santa Claus, you know. And it was funny because I was courting my wife, and I showed up at her parents' house as Santa Claus. And I had a gift and everything, and you know, it's funny because from there, like each year, I kind of like, they bought me a black and white Santa hat that had, what does it say, Bah Humbug on the hat? I love Christmas. But when now it's become this thing where it's surrounding like gifts and shopping and all of this. And then my wife, we usually have people over, so she goes into this little cleaning frenzy. And I'm like, I'm stressed, you know, by the time Christmas is over, I'm kind of stressed. So, you know, I always come into the Christmas season cautiously. And so, you know, this season, thanks to Fairhaven, I focused in on Advent. You know, in the whole season of Advent and what it means. And I really immersed myself in just my own personal study and my own personal connection to God to really understand what Christmas is about. And most of you, we know the stories of Christmas. You know, the baby in the manger, the star that the wise men followed, where they presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Angels appearing to shepherds in the fields. An angel appearing before Mary and telling her that she's to bear a child and he's to be the Son of God. Joseph about to divorce his wife-to-be because she's pregnant. All right. So I know these stories. But as I'm looking at the Gospel of John, John starts off a little bit differently than the other three Gospels. Matthew starts off with an account of the genealogy of Christ, showing that there's a progression down the line of David, both to Mary and to Joseph. Right? And then we go to Mark, we see a prophecy in Isaiah where they're talking about John the Baptist coming and Jesus following right behind him. And then we go into another birth story. Luke, we see the same thing. We look at the announcement that John the Baptist is coming and that Jesus will be following behind in another birth story. But in John, John takes us back a little bit further than the other three gospel accounts. I don't know if you know this, but the book of John, the gospel of John is a little bit different than the other three gospels in some key ways that I can't get into today. But if you read it closely, you will see that there are 37 different miracles that were recorded in all the Gospels. But in the book of John, there's only 8 of them that are mentioned. John has a different emphasis on the life of Christ than the other gospel writers. The emphasis that John is putting forth for us today and for all generations is not only was Jesus Christ the Son of God, not only did he come to save us, but there's both a physical and a spiritual aspect to each one of the miracles. Each one of the miracles that John looks at, he goes deeper into the spiritual meaning of that specific instance. Oftentimes we see the miracle like, man, Jesus fed 5,000. But at the end of that, if you remember last time I spoke, or if you remember from the text, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. There's a spiritual meaning behind that. He met a woman at the well, a Samaritan, who most people would have cast aside. She was searching for water, but Jesus said, if you come to me, you will never thirst again because I am the living water. And John, throughout, is really an amazing book to get into, to read them side by side with the other texts. So where I'm going to be coming from today is John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. And I want to give you a Christmas account as well. I want to dive into a spiritual meaning of Christmas. It blessed me. I mean, it really did. It really blessed me. Matter of fact, I don't know if I'll ever be the same. I felt like I was born again, even though I can't be born again. It felt like I was born again through this study. So once again, thank you, Fairhaven, for forcing me to get into this thing. And honestly, I'm going to tell you right off top, me, this old clay vessel, I can't even begin to encapsulate, to grasp, to relay the truth that's found here in John chapter 1. I can start John chapter 1, verse 1, and preach all day just on that one verse. We're going to look at that. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and was with God, and the Word was God. And when we're talking about in the beginning here, God, if you look at the Greek, and I'm not going to get in too deep into the Greek because there's two different words I want to take out of here. And in the beginning, he's talking about before time even was created. Before anything was created. Matter wasn't here. It says, in the beginning. Once again, the English kind of like dumbs down some of the truth of the text. But right now it says, in the beginning was the Word. And that, if you look closely right there in the very beginning of verse 1, the Word is Logos. And the Logos, you know, there's two different ways and perspectives that we look at the Word. And on one perspective, I took my son to see Star Wars. My wife and my daughter, we went to go see Star Wars. And, you know, it was pretty good, so go see it. All right. You know you can't be a part of the conversation in 2018 if you haven't seen Star Wars, right? All right. So go see Star Wars. But after the movie, my daughter, she asked me, she said, is the Force real? And I think my Aaron, he asked me a few years ago when we sat down and watched all of them, you know, one weekend. He's like, the Force is real. I know it is because I experience it, you know. And my mom was like, make sure you tell him what that really is. So There is this force, there is this power, there is this principle, there is this reason. For all in 2017, we have all of these people coming from all of these different religious places. And a lot of people believe that there is a God, they just don't believe in our God. They just don't believe in the true God. They believe in a principle. They believe in what the Greeks believed, logos was the reason, the ultimate reason why everything exists. The underlying principle that holds all laws together, the law of gravity. Electricity. There's this reason. There's this intelligence that they've known about. So on one hand, John is referring to this principle. But then to the Jews, he's coming from a totally different perspective, because to the Jews, the Word was the creative power. It was the actual manifestation of God in the world. The Word. So he's saying in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Right now we have, as Christians, he's revealing to us the Trinity here, and as we don't see it, like I said, in the English, but that word with God means face to face with God. The Word was face to face with God. He was on equal footing with God. And this is powerful, because where I'm leading you to, oh man, it's good news for us. It's really, really good news that the Word existed before all other creation, that he existed outside of time. And it says the Word was God. So to the Jews, it's like, wait a minute. You mean the creative Word that came out of God's mouth, that was God too? The Scriptures that were given to Moses, that was God too? I'm like, man, this isn't making sense. And to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, to those who aren't of the people of God, they're like, wait a minute. This power, the force isn't a person. The force is a thing. So John is really one of the first, if not the first, individual on earth to get this revelation that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning, verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. He had to reemphasize it. Just in case you forgot or you missed what I was saying, Jesus, the Word, He was with God. This is a, because there's a lot of different teachings about Jesus Christ. Some people believe that Jesus Christ was a man, and then he lived a certain life, and then he lived such a good life that God exalted him to this place. And that's not the truth. Some people believe that God the Father created Jesus. All right? And that Jesus is a lower being than God the Father. What we see here, once again, if you look in the Greek, is that the Word, Jesus Christ, He's actually on equal footing with God. And this is important, because without Jesus being God, there is no sacrifice for our sins. There is no Christmas. There is no Christmas without this. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. And I love this, because that means, like, I have a piece of God inside of me. I have this connection, because I was made through Him, and I have this connection with God. And this is one of the truths that I'm about to get into as we run down through here. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He just talked about Jesus being the light of the world. When you looked in the mirror today, who did you see? Did you see you? Or did you see that light? Sometimes we don't focus on the light. We are not the actual light. We actually reflect the actual true light, as we're going to see right here. But it says, in Him was life. That means outside of Him, there is no life. We're looking at Christmas, though. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 6. And when they went into talking about John the Baptist, I really didn't understand, like, why in this portion of Scripture that he went into talking about John the Baptist, because this is what's considered the prologue or the introduction to the gospel right here. And then as I meditated upon it more and more and more, it was right in alignment with what I thought the text was about. And it said John was a witness to the true light. It says, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. I want to back up because that to bear means to carry or to support. And the word witness is evidence of. So let's back up. When I think about Christmas, I think about Jesus and I think about him coming down off the throne and I see this baby, but I'm like, why? Why did he have to come? Let's think about this for a second. Let's ponder. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody bear with me. Close your eyes. And I just want you to be here. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Everlasting One, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, the One who calls the end from the beginning, He decided to come into an earthen vessel. And we have to understand, we have to ask the question, why? And I know some of you think it's to save our souls. Just think about it for a second. This is a spiritual truth. I can talk till my mouth falls off, but this is the spiritual truth that I feel like God wants to, He wants to touch you in this special place. Think about it. The Creator of the universe came to the earth. He assumed a body. You can open your eyes. And he says, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. This is, I got to challenge you this morning. How many of you in here are living your life as a witness? Is your life a witness? And you don't have to raise your hand. Some of y'all did. You don't have to raise your hand. Are you living your life as a witness? That's what Christmas is. Christmas for me is man in the mirror time. Are you living a life worthy of what I've done? And if you are, or if you're, say you are a Christian and you don't feel like you're living that life, this is the key. It's about to get better. It's about to pick up. This is the key. Look at what Christ did. He came from down from this place where he was equal with God. He was face to face with God. And he created a body and entered into the body. What does that mean for us? What do we have to do? Think about it. If you're not reflecting Christ, I wonder if you're sitting on the throne. I wonder if you're still equal with God in your own mind, thinking that you get to decide what you do each day, what you say each day. Or is he in control? This is a very hard truth for me, and when I was coming up as a younger preacher, I'm still a young preacher, I was told to stay away from messages like this unless I was the pastor of the church. But I've been preaching for a while now, so I'm going to say what the Lord tells me to say. Are you? Are you still on the throne? And in this Christmas season, for me, I get irritated sometimes with all the things and hustling and bustling. And God says, are you on the throne? Or am I on the throne? Who do we have to be if we believe that Jesus came down, that the Word came down? Who do we have to be? Every person in here has to answer this for themselves. Who do you have to be? If you actually truly believe that this happened, honestly, At some point in time, throughout your week, throughout your day, throughout your month, you ought to come before God and some tears or something ought to well up inside of you, because no one in here is perfect. And some of us are so disconnected from this life. I felt it, disconnection, but now I feel you drawn in. I feel it. I feel y'all drawn in. I feel us connecting right now. I feel it in this place. Because once we lift God up, He'll lift us up. But if we exalt ourselves, He'll push us down. He doesn't share that place with anyone, not in this existence. It says there was a man sent from God. Each one of us in here, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have been sent. You have been sent. And it says, this man came for a witness, to bear witness. That means to carry day by day. Are you evidence, proof that Christ exists? This Christmas season, is your life proof that Christ exists? Man, all these things that are going on in the world. I was talking to one of my good friends, and he's just so discouraged. He's like, man, I'm just eating my problems away. I'm like, I'm right there with you, bro. You know what I'm saying? But are we proof? I'm telling you, it's about to get better. He says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Remember this, because as you begin to align yourself with God's way, as you come down, He will exalt you. But when you get to the place, the job, the car, the position, the business, when you get to the place, if you start to say, okay, I'm in charge now, and you forget that you're just a reflection of the light, we run into problems. Verse 9. That was the true life which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. There's always going to be a part of us that's dark until we're exalted. The word says that we know in part and we see in part. But soon that is partial will pass away. Think about this. Jesus was revealing himself to the Jews all throughout Scripture. He revealed himself through many powers, many words, many good things. He's revealed himself to you. And the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and they did not receive him. But here we go. I spent all of this time right here trying to bring you to this place. Verse 12. This is the heart of Christmas. This is the heart of Christmas. Jesus came down off the throne and became a child so that you could become a child of the living God. Verse 12, but as many as received him, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter how you grew up, what your church was, it says, but as many as received him. Ooh, I wish y'all can look at this and feel this. He said, as many as received him. In the Greek, the word means to grab. For those of you who are willing to grab this truth right now, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become God. And I got to stop right here because my old Bible don't say right. It says power. Some of your Bibles may say authority. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The word right here is exousia. Exousia. It means a couple different things. He gave you the exousia, the right, meaning the power, but not just the power, the authority to become a child of God. What does that mean, Andre? I'm lost. Anybody in here read about Jesus? What if I told you this? What if I told you that the works that you saw, that you've read about him doing, Jesus said that we would do greater works than that. He said we would do greater works than this. Then He said there was this man named John, John the Baptist. There's never been another man on the face of the earth like him. So up until this time when this was written, John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived prior to Christ. Why? Because he was a reflection of God's light. In him was the light of life. In you today is the light of life. All you have to do is pull out your just like a driver's license. Unfortunately, I was coming from my graduation last week. I was on 24, and this officer was, I don't know, sitting somewhere in the cut. And I'm driving down the road, and I see him coming the opposite way, so I kind of slow down, but then I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw his red lights, his brake lights. I'm like, oh, man. So I started driving the speed limit. And then, so by the time he turned around, I don't even see him in my rearview mirror. So I'm driving, my wife's asleep, driving back to Fort Wayne. Next thing you know, about 10 seconds later, I see him gaining on me. I'm like, oh, man, he got me. And my wife kind of get a little worked up sometimes, so I didn't even wake her up. I just kept driving. And then I slowed down, and I pulled over. I still didn't wake her up. And then when his door closed, I was like, Beth, I got pulled over. She's like, were you speeding? I'm like, yeah, I was. Well, how fast? You? I don't know. You know, I had to get it ready. I don't know how fast I was going. I don't know I was speeding. So he comes up, and I had picked up my cap and gown earlier, and my driver's license, I had put it in a crazy place, so I'm searching for my driver's license. I can't find my driver's license. I'm getting nervous. You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, don't worry about it. I can look it up. You're good. But I ended up finding it. I took my driver's license out. Everything was good. He gave me a warning. Praise God. All right. And then my wife reminded me, yeah, but those warnings, they can see them. So if you get pulled over again, they're going to see they gave you a warning. They'll probably write you a ticket next time. So, but this license gives me the right to drive, right? The right. Exousia is different. Exousia is another level of, it's not like the government can come and take this away. They can suspend this. Your right to be the child of God can't be suspended, my brother. It can't be suspended. There's nothing that you could do to earn this right here. Then I go take a test and go drive, police pull me over, get too many points, boom. Out of here. And I know so Satan wants you to believe that that can happen to you in your relationship with God, but it can't happen. That's what Christmas is. He says, but as many, anybody in here, anybody don't know Christ? Anybody not know Christ in here today? Anybody like kind of wavering, like on the teetering, like I've been trying to accept him, but I really, young people, you too. You can come too. You can come too. It says, but as many, you need to come too. You know him already? You sure? You know that you've put all of your faith, all of your trust, all of your life in his hands? Do you know that? Because today, God sent me here today to ask you this question. Because he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the exousia. This is beyond, it cannot be revoked. God says, I have you in my hands. Some of you are questioning that today. That's okay. He says, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, we're not talking about a physical relationship. This ain't grandmama's faith. This ain't my mama's faith. This is my faith. God told me to share this with you. He says, nor of the will of the flesh. You didn't do this. Even all of us who shaking our head like, yeah, I'm in the family. We didn't do this, bro. He did this. And he made a decision at the foundations of the world. You know what? I'm going to fix all of this. I'm going to clean it all up. And I'm going to come down here. They're going to call it Christmas. But it's deeper than that. Nor of the will of man, but of God. Here we are today on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, son. It's not about the gifts under the tree. It is about the gift. Jesus Christ. It's not about what you get, son, even though you know we're going to take care of you. It's about Jesus Christ. Christ and He's giving you access. This right, this exousia is beyond a driver's license. It's beyond the deed and title. This is bought, paid for, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. It cannot be taken. It cannot be revoked in this Christmas season. Jesus wants to move you into a new place. And I want to share, as I close, I want to share these couple verses with you that really bless me. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit." I'm going to wait. I hear some pages turning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Look, God made this thing easy. You ain't got to have a doctorate. You ain't got to be the smartest person in the world. He gave all of us access. The world says do it this way. You got to do X, Y, Z. Even some churches, they're going to give you this checklist. I'm telling you what, if you stand on the word and you connect with Christ, everything else is going to be taken care of. It's all according to Christ. "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Christ gave us an example, and you are complete in Him. I'm here to tell you today, you are complete today. Young lady, I know you zoned out. You are complete today. I'm telling you, you're going to find yourself, it may not be today. It may be tomorrow, or it may be next week, or it may be someone at school who's getting on your nerves. Trust me, you are complete because of what Christ did today. And that's what you carry on Christmas. This season is to remind you that you are complete. And but as many as received Him, He gave you the exousia to be the children of God. And He is the head of all power and principality. And last verse, I got to share this too. This one had me in tears this morning. Because when you reflect on it, sometimes God was like, "Look, Andre, there's no way you're going to be able to explain this to them physically. So I need for you to just rely on Me." And this one right here got me this morning. And if you go home and you go to your prayer closet, I encourage you to get in here in 1 John. Man, I love John. John was just so spiritual. I love John. Where you at? First John chapter 3, verse 1. Man, it's just good. Verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." I'm not going to keep going because we got to behold it first. Y'all, I don't know if y'all seeing it yet. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." Behold, young man. Behold. When you go home, you're going to have some fun for Christmas, right? But God needs you to behold. He needs you to behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. I mean, I could have just read this and just got on out of here, because "behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope," everything I just read, "everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as He is pure." And when you're pure, you ain't got no worries. When you're pure, you're like Christ. When you're pure, you're reflecting His light. When you're pure, you're living in alignment. You're living like a child of God. I haven't been seeing it enough. I'm sorry, Christians. I'm just going to say it. Somebody need to say it. I ain't been seeing the children of God out here in the world. I ain't judging nobody. I look at myself and I'm looking dirty sometimes, a lot of times too. I just ain't been seeing it. People don't even believe in Christ no more because the power of God isn't being manifested in the world. The Word, the Logos, is the manifestation of God, the actual embodiment of God. The Logos lives in us through the Word of God. So now, the world ought to see the children of God everywhere, because we're everywhere, right? In this season. Reach into your pockets, say prayers, forgive some people who you said you would never forgive, and be the children of God. Not just in the season, but continue to walk in it. Father God, I thank you, God, for this opportunity that you've given me to share in the Word. I pray that you would touch each of the hearts, minds, and souls here in this place today, Father. I pray that your Word would be effective, that it would not return unto you void, but that it would accomplish the purpose for which you sent it, Father God. God, you've changed me. And God, while my savvy and my ability, God, to relay it is weak and frail, Father God, I thank you that you've blessed someone here, Father God, to understand that as many as received you, that you have given them the exousia, the power, the right, the authority to become children of God. Bless this season that we're in. There's sickness, there's pain, but God, I declare today in the name of Jesus that we are healed, whether in this life or the next. I thank you, God, for this church. I thank you for each member here at Fairhaven. Bless the food we're going to receive. And we pray that the fellowship of the saints, Lord God, will be a sweet, swelling aroma to you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.